This morning we're in part three of our four-part series on Do You Hate Religion But Love Jesus? You're Not Alone. And today we're talking about self versus others, which is interesting because in our culture today, what are we supposed to be looking out for? Or who are we supposed to be looking out for ourselves, right? We're looking out for number one. If you look at people that are high up in politics or high up in just about any arena, you see that they've probably stepped on a few people along the way. But that's been okay because they've been doing what makes them happy. They've been doing things that bring them joy. Well, Jesus has a different idea about who we're supposed to be looking out for. Now, when we talk about who's the greatest, a lot of us think of, well, who do we think of as being the greatest? How about a basketball player? Who's a great basketball player? Michael Jordan. Okay, how about a defensive football player? Lawrence Taylor, okay. How about quarterback? Aaron Rodgers? Yeah. Joe Montana, yeah. All right. How about swimmer? Michael Phelps, okay. Pitcher? Bill Ryan. All right, how about president? The greatest president? Abraham Lincoln, okay. Well, I think that all of us at some level want to be the greatest at something, don't we? Maybe you're like, oh no, I don't want to be the greatest at something. But if you really think about it, don't you want to be maybe the greatest husband, the greatest wife, the greatest father, the greatest spouse? The disciples asked Jesus, who's the greatest among us? And let's read here from Mark. After they arrived at Capernaum and settled in a house, Jesus asked his disciples, "What were you discussing on the road?" But they didn't answer because they had been arguing about which one of them was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12 disciples over to him, and said, "Whoever wants to be first must take last place and be the servant of everyone else. You know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many." The religious leaders of the day were very much flaunting their wealth and flaunting their positions over the people in Jesus' day. They were very much bringing honor to themselves as opposed to bringing honor to God. It's kind of like people today who flaunt their wealth and say, oh, well, I can't do that because I'm too good for that. I'm too good for these people or that job. I can't do that job. I'm too good for that. I've got too much education to be able to do that. That's someone for lower class. And when I was thinking about flaunting wealth, the Real Housewives popped into my head. The root of this, though, the root of this selfishness, this root of entitlement, really comes from arrogance. When people are arrogant, that's when they start thinking more of themselves than what they really are, and start thinking that they're better than everyone else. And I want to show you a clip of someone who personifies arrogance. So obviously we're not going to hopefully we're not going to run into a lot of people that are as arrogant as Gaston, at least on the outside, but maybe on the inside. Now, Jesus came, and Jesus, of all people, has the credentials to come arrogantly if he wanted to, doesn't he? He's the creator of the universe. He is the God who made each one of us. And if he wanted to come down to earth and have everyone bow down at his feet and live in a palace, and then have everyone cater to his every whim of anyone, he's the only one that could call that as his own. But rather than doing that, he came down and he did something rather incredible. Reading from John, it says, "Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew that his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He had loved his disciples during his ministry on earth, and now he loved them to the very end. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel he had around him. After washing their feet, he put on his robe again and sat down. 'Do you understand what I was doing?' You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you. I tell you the truth, slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them. Jesus took on the role of a servant, really the lowest of the low. And instead of demanding that they wash his feet or having a slave come and wash their feet, Jesus took on that role of humility and washed the disciples' feet. We hear that story over and over again, and I think sometimes we miss the magnitude of this. The Creator of the earth is washing dirt off of the feet of the disciples. If we really think about that, it should appall us. And Jesus says to follow his example. He tells another story then to further illustrate what he wants us to do. He says, two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer, I thank you, God, that I am not a sinner like everyone else, for I don't cheat, I don't sin, and I don't commit adultery. I'm certainly not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give you a tenth of my income. But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, O God, be merciful, for I am a sinner. I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. What is our attitude toward other people? Jesus is clear that we are to take care of the blind, the poor, the unfortunate, the widows. We are to serve other people. Church is not about making ourselves feel good. It's not about coming here, shaking hands during the greeting time, pats on the back, gives hugs, whatever it is. Sing a song or two that you like, and then go home and do nothing else the rest of the week. We are to come for the benefit of other people. We are to come because Jesus loves other people. Jesus demonstrated that we are to be humble and to be serving others. He said this, when you put on a luncheon or a banquet, don't invite your friends, brothers, relatives, and rich neighbors, for they will invite you back and that will be your only reward. Instead, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Then at the resurrection of the righteous, God will reward you for inviting those who could not repay you. Watch out, don't do your deeds publicly to be admired by others, for you will lose the reward from your Father in heaven. When you give to someone in need, don't do as the hypocrites do, blowing trumpets in the synagogues and streets to call attention to their acts of charity. I tell you the truth, they have received all the reward they will ever get. But when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Give your gifts in private, and your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. Beware of these teachers of religious law, for they like to parade around in flowing robes and love to receive respectful greetings as they walk in the marketplaces. And how they love to sit in the seats of honor in the synagogues and the head table at banquets. Yet they shamelessly cheat widows out of their property and then pretend to be pious by making long prayers in public. Because of this, they will be severely punished. God cares about our heart when we are doing things. Just doing good things is not what God has required of us. God checks the heart. We need to make sure that we don't have ulterior motives. We're not doing things for someone else to get benefit to ourselves. We are doing things to other people because God has said that He loves us. And the greatest commands are to love God and to love other people. And those are equally the greatest command. You cannot love God and then not love other people. If you don't love other people, then Jesus says you do not love God. There was a food bank that closed recently. And it was closed because the founders, turns out, they were embezzling funds from the ministry. They were giving out 400,000 boxes of food every week, which is a good thing. But their motives weren't pure, and it destroyed that ministry. If we do things with the wrong motives, if we do things to try to get something in return, we're doing things at our own peril. Jesus says when we don't do things with the right heart, that is sin, and there are consequences for our sins. Jesus condemns this. He says we are to do things the right way, for the right, doing the right things in the right way. What we do on the outside may look like the right thing. Maybe it looks like we're coming to church. Well, I suppose you'd have to look like you're coming to church if you're here. It looks like you're in church, but maybe you're only in church because you want to get something. Maybe you only came to church this morning because someone dragged you here. Jesus knows the motives. And it is so important that we are doing things in the right way for the right reasons. Because Jesus knows our inner thoughts. He knows why we are doing things. He says that this is so important to do things for other people that our judgment is even going to be based upon it. The way that we treat other people demonstrates the way that we think of God. If we treat other people lower or less than ourselves, we are really saying to God and to them that they're not worth it. Or, you know, heaven's going to be just fine if these people are in it. But I really, you know, that guy kind of smells. That guy looks funny. She raises her hands when she sings. We don't want that in heaven. All these judgments that we make about people, we say, oh, well, we don't want that. We just want people like us. And Jesus says if we do that, then we're taking on the role of judge, and that role is not ours. We are to love other people the way that Jesus loves us. The way we treat other people will be the way that we are judged. Jesus said that he divides, at the day of judgment, he divides the people into sheep and goats, like sheep and goats. He says the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. And the sheep, he says, welcome into my kingdom. Because when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I needed help, you helped me. And they say, when did we do this, Jesus? And he says, whenever you did it for the least of these. Basically, for other people. Whenever you did this for other people. Whenever you did the right thing in my name with the right motives, you did it as you were doing it to me. Welcome into the kingdom of heaven. On the left, the goats, he says, you are cursed because you didn't give me anything to drink when I was thirsty. You didn't give me anything to eat when I was hungry, and you didn't help me when I needed help. And they will say, when, Jesus, did we see you? And he will say, whenever you didn't do this for other people who needed the help, you didn't do it to me. And the goats will be banished into eternal damnation, while the sheep are welcomed into eternal life in heaven. What we do for other people and the reasons why we do things for other people matter, and they matter for eternity. Jesus says that if you pray so everyone can see you and pray so that everyone can honor you and say, wow, that's great praying. Just like that Pharisee that came in, thank you, God, I'm not a sinner like that person over there. Then Jesus says, that is your reward. That is the reward you get. But when you give because you're doing things the way that Jesus wants you to be doing, when you're following Jesus, that's when your reward will be in heaven. A rich man asked Jesus, how do I get into heaven? How can I become part of your kingdom? And he said, well, obey the law. Honor your father and mother. Do not lie. Do not cheat. Do not commit adultery. And the man says, great, I haven't done any of those things. And then Jesus says, well, then, okay, now go and sell all of your possessions and give that money to the poor. And the rich man becomes sad and walks away. He had so much wealth, he didn't want to give it to the poor. He wasn't willing to give up these earthly treasures for the eternal reward. Jesus says then that it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus says that when we put our focus on ourselves, when we put our focus on getting the money and getting the wealth and getting the stature, then that's our reward. We get it here on earth. You can have the chauffeured limousine. You can have all of these extras that people have. And there's nothing wrong with wealth in and of itself. But when we put that above kingdom principles, when we put that above serving others and serving the poor, then we're not following Jesus. I would hope that each one of us here today is willing to set aside our worldly values for the sake of the kingdom. I hope and pray that we are able to see that what we do for other people matters. And that is how we build up our treasure in heaven. It doesn't matter what our bank account says. It matters what we are doing in our intentions and what we do for the sake of Jesus Christ. Will you choose to honor other people and serve other people, or will you choose to honor yourself? Jesus gives us a choice, and he says that if you choose to honor yourself, enjoy it, because that's your reward. Yet if you choose to follow Jesus and to serve others, your reward will be eternal and in heaven.